law of the peace offering. We have four thoughts: purpose of thanksgiving, process and partaking, purity and prohibition. Taken from Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 34. What is the purpose of God instituting all these offerings and setting up the tabernacle? Well, it is to help the people of God understand their relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God, or each one of us who confess the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, have a relationship with Him? And how is that relationship you have with your Savior? How is Jesus to you in your everyday life? Is He a very important part of your life, or is He to you only a matter of convenience? When you need Him, you come to Him. You don't need Him, He's cast aside. And you go about doing your own things. Who is Jesus to you? Well, God wanted Israel to know the importance of that relationship that we have with God. Because He is our Creator. Every part of ourselves is made by Him. And every ounce of ourselves is also sustained by Him. And so with this background, the Lord builds upon us by introducing a people for Himself, Israel, and by introducing objects of symbols to describe that relationship that we have with our invisible God. Right? God cannot be seen. Right? But God did not leave us without understanding. Not only did God give us the tabernacle, which is a symbol of the presence of God with us, by the cloud that came and the fire that was with the people of God, but God, in the fullness of time, sent His only begotten Son. So the tabernacle of God was in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelling upon earth, God with us, for us to see. And then what did God do for that relationship with us? Our Lord Jesus, before He ascended to heaven, He says to us that He will give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Right, the Spirit that indwells us will be with us. And so the Lord brings for us to understand our relationship with God. That dependence. Right, that dependence. And He wants us to build a kind of a, you know, dependence that is real, that is close, that is thriving, that is prospering. Because that is the only way by which our physical life, our life on earth can thrive and prosper. It's the relationship we have with Jesus that plucks us out of depression, that plucks us out of unhappiness, grants to us wisdom, and grants to us grace for life. And so in our study of His Word, the Lord must cause us to build that relationship strong, so that when we leave here, we don't live going about doing our own things after that. Because it is not a relationship, but a convenience that we have, right? There are those who said, I want to be baptized. But after baptism, you don't see them anymore. Where is the thanksgiving? Where is the tithe of responsibility with His people? Well, we ask ourselves, and each one of us is accountable to God. We don't go after our people or anyone to say that, you know, you have to be accounted for. Everything is between us and God. Right? No one knows. No one goes after anybody. Right? But by the word of God, we thrive, or well, we said that we suffer loss. Right? So the Lord wants us to understand. And today, when we look at the peace offering, it is to help us to see why the people of God, after they have you know, dedicated themselves to God, after they have had their sins forgiven, given their trespass offering, given their sin offering, given their burnt offering to consecrate themselves to God, then their daily walk with God. Are you experiencing the joy of your walk with God? Are you calling out to God daily in your life and receiving answered prayers? If you are, then you ought to be very thankful, right? You ought to be always praising God because your prayers are answered. So we are speaking about your relationship with God. God wants you to have a thriving relationship. And the peace offering is given by God so that His people who has received mercies from Him will not forget. Besides the tithe, we have the offering. The peace offering, the thanksgiving offering that the people of God give to His people, or the to enable His people to express their thanksgiving to God. See, it's a relationship, right? Worship is a relationship. Giving is a relationship. And the Lord wants us to thrive in our relationship with Him, right? How is your relationship with Him? This is what the Lord is saying to us. When we begin this study, this is the second time we are looking at the peace offering. So this law of the peace offering in this chapter, in chapter 7, gives to us more things. Right? But in chapter 3, just to recap, we saw that the peace offerings were taken from the herd or from the flock and consisted of the same kind of animals that form the burnt offerings. And like them, they are required to be without blemish, that they might bring it to God, male or female. So the offering mustn't be a defective one. In other words, bring a good offering, right? The animal must not be animal that is sick, animal that is you know, that is not wholesome. The Lord says, don't bring such. So Leviticus 3 verses 1 to 5 gives us the first teaching concerning this peace offering. And it says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the herd, the head of the of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now remember what we have learned before, right? The offerer will bring the animal, and then at the door of the tabernacle, he will be received by Aaron's sons and the priests, and the animal will be killed, and the blood will be sprinkled upon the altar as the animal is brought before the gate or before the brazen altar, and he shall and it shall be made as a peace offering, or of the peace of it shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards. This part is not mentioned in this part of the text, the fat is not that covereth the inwards, and the fat that is in the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the cow above the liver with the kidneys, it shall he take away, and Aaron's son shall burn it upon the altar. So all this will be burned upon the altar as a sacrifice to the Lord. So this is the Lord's portion of the peace offering. Okay? And it is offered upon the wood that is on the fire, and it's an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. In other words, it is a sweet smell to the Lord. Right? When you barbecue sweets, very good smell, right? Very wonderful. Now this is what we are speaking about, because once you put it on the altar, right? This is the burning of it. Huh? So here the Lord wants us to understand, right? But in a very reverential way, okay? Reverential way. Yeah? We are not trying to say anything dishonoring here. Okay? So the blemish animals were slain and skinned, and their blood sprinkled in the same manner as the burnt offerings, but only the fatty parts were burned. The priest got the breast and the right shoulder, which from the peculiar way they had to present this to the Lord, one being lifted up or heaved up and the other waved to and fro from right to left. Now, the peace offerings that is to be given unto the Lord, right? One part of it, right, is he has to be, they call it heaved, that means lifted up and down in this way, okay? And the other one waved sideways, left to right, okay? It's as if to let the Lord know that, hey, perhaps, I was thinking that, you know, someone has received the blessings of God, and this is a presentation, you know, as if to let the Lord know that this is what his people has brought to him in thanksgiving, right? So the priest takes it and, you know, place it before what is the reason? Well, the people of God has experienced the grace of God, you know, so the offering has a purpose, you know, because you have experienced God in your life. If you have not, then that's a different thing, right? But this is what the Lord is saying to us. If God has been keeping you, God has been strengthening you, God has been preserving you, right? God has been with you, and you have experienced answered prayer, God has been doing many good things in your life, then you find that the child of God is very thankful, right? Very thankful, because he knows that God is with him and he's been doing so much for him, and he's so grateful, right, to all the answered prayer that he has received. And so from verse 30 to 34 is described the waving of the peace offering. Verse 30 says, and his own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breasts, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons, and the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings, and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and had given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever among the children of Israel. And so here you see a description, right, of how the offering is to be done. Right? But we know, right, from what we have understood, this is what the Lord seeks for the offerer to do. All that remain of the carcass belong to the offerer, who might invite his friends and the poor to the feast on it along with him. So the priest adds their own portion, the altar fire devoured God's part, and the offering being fast shared among these three parties, and each of them partaking of it signified their being at peace and holding communion together. Hence the offering is appropriately called a peace offering. And the offering that is given here, the peace offering, is not just given by the individual. Okay, the peace offering is also offered as a nation, as a people. Right? Leviticus 9 verse 18 is described here. He slew also the bullock and the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. Right? And Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled upon the altar round about. And after they entered the promised land, Joshua 8:31 described, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. 2 Samuel 6 verse 17, and they brought in the ark of the Lord. That's when they began the worship in Jerusalem, and set it in his place, and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. 1 Kings 8:62, and the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. William Brown, he observed well, he says, although this offering had an expiatory character, in other words, when you kill the animal, it's as if to make atonement, right? Its main design, if you read the offering of the peace offerings character, does not appear to have been to make atonement for sins, nor to represent the self-dedication of the offerer to God. That's the burnt offering. Right? The burnt offering is a dedication to God. Right? It is not. But rather to express thankfulness or thanksgiving to God. Hence it is sometimes called a thanks offering. So an Israelite wishing to express thankfulness to God for mercies received might do so by bringing a peace offering. And if he wished to supplicate for blessings, he brought the same form of offerings, this thanking God for past while soliciting new favors. Peace offerings were evidently intended to keep alive the bosoms of the Israelites, the combined flame of gratitude, piety and charity. Well, this is what God wants us to have in our relationship with Him. So if the relationship of God's people is not there, then you find that there is a lack of a thriving relationship between God and his people. That is a telltale sign, right? And so the people of God must be awakened. The people of God must realize that they have been slack in their life with God. So it reflects, all this reflects, right? About their own spiritual life, what is going on in their own life. Right? If they are not coming to God, they are not seeking the Lord, that means they are doing their own thing. Okay, so and therefore God had to institute this, right? In order to promote, in a sense, a spiritual habit of piety. You have to teach, then you also have to encourage, then you also have to mandate, right? There are those who just would not hearken. So the Lord is mandating. So who is at the losing end, at the end, when we are not walking with God? Well, the one who is not walking with God is in trouble, right? God's you know, there's nothing lacking in him at all, right? He is in himself self-sufficient, you know. God doesn't need us, but we need him. And unless we come to the understanding that we need God, then we will not have a humble disposition, you know. We can become very proud. We can become very out of sync, you know, with what God wants us to do. And that's where things break down. But the Lord wants us to build that thriving relationship. That's why he set up this system of offering. Right, so we said the first thought, purpose of thanksgiving. The purpose of thanksgiving, I quote Matthew Henry, was for the offerer to express in thanksgiving for some special mercy received, such as recovery from sickness, preservation in a journey, deliverance at sea, redemption out of captivity, all of which specified in Psalm 107, and for them men are called upon to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you do that? A sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. If you offer it with a thanksgiving, verse 12 says, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Now notice here that first time leaven is allowed here. Remember the other offerings, the sin offering, the trespass offering, no leaven. Right, no leaven. But here, in the peace offering, you notice that the leaven is there. Okay, you are allowed to add your leaven to the yeast, to the baking. And so, just to help us to see and understand that relationship that we have with God, the psalmist in Psalm 107 framed it for us. Right? So the psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, they are so faint in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." And you see this repeated throughout the psalm. And isn't it a good picture of our life? He led them for the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Do you experience the goodness of God? Is your hungry soul satisfied in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied? Are you receiving satisfaction from your relationship with God? You see, unless you are receiving satisfaction in your relationship with God, then all other things doesn't make sense to you. Right? Why offer? Why do these things? Why? So if there's no relationship with God, then we don't understand the ordinances and the means by which God makes to for us, His people, to reach Him. You see that? Right? So in our worship, we have a portion, right, whereby the people of God brings an offering to God. Ah, that is the area by which the people of God is able to express, right, their relationship with God. And so the Lord wants us to understand and know, and how is that relationship that you have with God? Is it thriving? Are you experiencing the moment by moment the care of God for you in your life? If we are not, then nothing to say. But if we are, and we are not doing that which we ought to, just like in the time of Haggai, right, when they were building the second temple, Haggai, the senior prophet, had to speak to the people. What are you doing? Building your own houses? And then the house of God is dilapidated. What are you doing? Surely God will not bless your selfish endeavor. Right? It's God who is building your house, and yet you neglect the God who is building your house, and you said, "This is mine. You have no part in it." Isn't that a kind of the mentality that we have? Very sad, isn't it? Right? We don't want God in that area of our lives. Right? That's ours. God, you cannot touch. No, right? But this is where we need to understand that all that we have, all that we are, comes from Him. That is why, you know, in the evening when we study Job, the Lord allows all these things to be taken away from him. Why? The purpose is for us to know, if we really love God, is our relationship with Him real, or is our relationship with the things that we have? So if, you know, whatever that you have is taken away from you, you cannot survive. Whether it's your family, whether it's your property, whether it's your possessions, whether it's your bank account, whether it's your relationships, this or that, anything that is taken away from you. For Job, God said that he is a man who loved God and has a real relationship. In other words, he understood whom he believes, and he understood what is sustaining him, and the foremost relationship in his life. But again, we said that unless we understand and understand it well, then, you know, our worship of God can be a lip service, you know. Right? Just come. But why is it that we come to God's house on the first day of the week? Because we know that He is the one that gives us life. And we want to remember Him first, because He is the one that would bring all things to pass in our lives. And so all that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works of the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Why do you call it a sacrifice? Because it will cost you something. It will cost you something. A sacrifice of the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. Now, you would notice that the people of God who gives their sacrifice, they don't want someone else to give on their behalf, you know. They want to give it themselves, because they want the Lord to receive it. Right? Because they are the one that have received from the Lord. And therefore the Lord wants us to understand that And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, and so the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, and they be quiet. And so they bringeth unto them, he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exhort Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into the wilderness, and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. And here, what a fitting description of God's grace, right? And the last part of it, of the Psalm 107, says, "The righteous shall see it and rejoice. All iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and observe these things, even they understand the loving kindness of the Lord." In other words, we have experienced, have we understood the goodness of God in our lives? You pray, thank God answered, you know. Whether it's for this thing or that thing pertaining to, you know, your family, pertaining to your some things that is happening in your own personal life or in the life of the people around you, and God answered your prayer. Wow. Then there must be a way in which we can express our thanksgiving to God, right? So why is it that the church is set up? Why is it that we have all these things that God has put in place? Means, ordinances? Well, it is for the people of God to rightly worship Him. And if the relationship with God is thriving, then you can see it. But if it's not, then that's where the people of God, you find, need to look and think and examine themselves. So we said that is for the purpose of thanksgiving. And secondly, in performance of some vows which a man made when he was in distress. So you in your distress, you may make certain vow to God that you are going to do something for the Lord, or you're going to, you know, and the Lord answered your prayer. Then, you know, the Lord, then it is for you, right, to do so, right? Perhaps Matthew Henry says, some special mercy which the man was in pursuit and received, right? And therefore he comes with this peace offering to God, a voluntary offering, right? Because God has done something for him in his life. And so here is described for us the means and the ordinances. And then the second part, the second thought, the process and the partaking. The process and the partaking. Now, there is some details to which the offering is to be made. Okay, and so the flesh of the peace offerings, both that which was the priest's share and that which was the offerer's, must be eaten quickly, not kept long. Right? So whatever portion, they had to eat it within 1 day, within 2 days, not 3 days. All right. So this was a given of the Lord, how the offerings is to be handled, and how the offering is to be handled. Right. Though they were not obliged to eat it in the holy place, and those offerings that are called most holy, but they might take it to their own tents and feast it upon it there. Now, so this is the only offering that, you know, they take it out. They take it out of their the tabernacle. Right? So here, the law is given that, you know, you eat it within that day, or you eat it the next day. Don't keep it to the third day. Alright? Because God would have not have His people to not understand the benefits that He has for them in their offering of what is brought before them. And the third thought, we have to move a little bit quickly because we have the third thought, purity, page 7, purity. But the flesh and those that eat it must be pure. The flesh must touch no unclean thing. If it did, it must not be eaten but burned. Verse 19. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten, shall be burned with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. So they're going to bring a portion of the offering out of the tabernacle. Okay, but if when they bring it out and it becomes contaminated, right? Recently we are speaking about grab food, right? So if you order some food and that the food has to be carried from one place to another, the time difference and the way it is kept, will bacteria go into the food and all these things, will it be healthy for consumption? How much time to be that it is able to hold it for in order that, you know, it will be safe to partake. So all these things are being looked into, right? So as you think about this, the Lord also offer some idea to His people, right, concerning the offering that is to be the portion of the offering that is to be taken out of the tabernacle, which they are to consume. Right, it is not to be mixed with unclean things, because these are holy. Right, these are holy. Right, the offering is holy. Just a minute. So the Lord says here that if in carrying from the altar to the place where it is eaten, a dog touched it, or it touched a dead body, or any unclean thing, it was then unfit to be used in a religious feast. And so here the Lord stipulates the law. Basically, it's to protect His people, right? Everything we honor the Holy God must be pure and carefully kept from all pollution. Right? Matthew Henry said it very well. And it must not be eaten by any unclean person. Right? Verses 20 and 21 says, but the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering that pertaineth unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of men, for example, carcasses, a dead person, a dead animal, and eat of the flesh of the peace offering which pertaineth unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. So they are very strict laws, rules concerning the holy things, that is not to be profane, not to be profane. And the fourth part, the prohibition, the eating of the blood and the fat of the inwards is here again prohibited. Verse 17, But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. The prohibition of the fat seems to be confined to those beasts which were used for sacrifice, the bullocks, the sheep, the goats. But of the roebuck, the hart, and other unclean, other clean beasts, they might eat the fat of those only of which offerings were brought, were mentioned here. Verse 23 to 25. It says here, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox, of sheep, of goat. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may not be used for any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat it. But whosoever eateth of the fat of the beast, and of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. So there is a holy reverence, right, in the whole process of the offering. The prohibition of blood is given also here in verse 26 and verse 27. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or beast or any of your dwellings whatsoever. Soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from the people. Right, and finally, well, we have mentioned about the wave offering, the heave offering. Finally, we said that the Lord may bless his people with understanding, so that we may enjoy the life we have with God, that our life with him may reflect his will for us. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy in granting to us thy word. May thou grant us understanding, that we may do thy will, Lord, and offer the peace offering, a thanksgiving to thee for all that we have received from thee, the sweet savour, as a sweet savour sacrifice to thee. This I pray with much thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.